Rich, I understand you were just arriving in Rome when you got the news yesterday.
Yeah, and, you know, it was a shocking piece of news because we had seen that the Pope had been in Gemelli Hospital. He had been at death's door and then seemed to be recovering. And, of course, you know, his doctors told him to take it easy for a couple of months, and that's the last thing that that he would do. So he went out immediately into the crowds. He went to a prison on Holy Thursday, talked to the prisoners there. They were chanting his name. And then on Sunday, you know, I mean, he blessed the crowd in St. Peter's Square. And, you know, the next day they get the word that he's gone. So it was, you know, we were arriving on a plane from Newark Airport when the plane stopped and the steward got on and said, "I have some very sad news. The Pope Francis has died." And there was an audible gasp through the plane. I mean, nobody expected it. And that's when we realized that things had completely changed here for our visit.
Rich, I guess he died in a somewhat unique way for popes, but his entire papacy had been a very unique one in many different ways.
Yes, indeed. You know, he was a guy right from the very beginning. You know, I was here on March 13th, 2013, 313-13. It's an easy number to remember. And when the white smoke went up and he came out on the balcony, and the popes generally, you know, bless the crowd and they roar. He immediately came out. First of all, he refused the fanciest garb, the ermine cape and the red shoes and all of that. He didn't want anything to do with that. And he immediately asked the crowd to pray for him. So he was a very different guy in that regard. Very different. He was unique. And, you know, of course, over the years, he had a great dedication to the environment. He welcomed in LGBTQ people. So he was a bit controversial in some ways, but he changed. He was an agent of change for the church.
And also unique in the sense that for the first time in centuries, his predecessor was still alive.
True, exactly. And that was a moment that kind of rocked the church, you know. I mean, I can remember getting a phone call at 5 minutes to 6 in the morning, and they were saying the Pope is resigning. That was Benedict the 16th. And I said, "Popes don't resign. What are you talking about?" And then a couple of minutes later, they said the Vatican is confirming that. And then we got on the air, and we discovered it was been 600 years since anything like that had happened. So, yes, it was an unusual moment when Benedict decided to give up the papacy and retire. And then Francis, of course, was elected and became the Pope that we know and a lot of people in the church love. The conservative element, maybe not so much as the liberal side of things.
Did that make it more difficult for him? You speak of from the conservative element because Benedict was still alive and he was more a favorite of the conservative cardinals.
Well, you know, he definitely was, but Benedict made sure that he was completely isolated. He didn't interfere in any way, shape, or form with the new pope, and it was a unique position to be in because he obviously had he knew there was precedent for a pope resigning, but he certainly couldn't confer with anybody about what you do. But he made sure to isolate himself. He did live in the Vatican, but he lived apart from the new pope and stayed out of all of his affairs so that. You know, and so Francis was going to be his own man anyway, and there was no doubt that he took his own direction and wasn't following in the footsteps of Benedict the 16th in any way.
What is the timeline, Rich, for the College of Cardinals to begin the conclave to select a new pope?
Well, Francis said it should be no more than 13 days after the funeral of the pope, so you can try to do the math there. So it's going to be within the month, let's put it that way, when the conclave gathers. Now look, there have been conclaves in the past. I mean, if you look back into history, ancient history, really, some have taken years and some have taken months. But they're saying now that there should be a pretty strict time limit, and they expect within 3 or 4 days or 2 or 3 days you'll get white smoke and a new pope will be elected and announced.
Quite a few members of the College of Cardinals, a number of those cardinals, were selected by Francis.
80% of those who can vote. Now, there are, I think, some 250 cardinals, but the ones who can vote are under the age of 80, and he's selected 80% of them. So that's kind of interesting that it's 80 and 80. But, yeah, so you would think, one would think that maybe the next pope would go in the same direction as Francis, but you never know. The Catholic Church believes that the Holy Spirit is involved in the cardinal selecting the new Holy Father, and so who knows what the Holy Spirit is thinking at this time.
Rich. It'll be very interesting because certainly the last two selections were very different with Benedict and with Francis. Rich, thank you so much for taking time to join us today.
Well, I want to thank you for letting me get on there down in North Carolina. It's one of our favorite. It's a beautiful state, great place.
Well, stop by and see us the next time you come by to the state.
Oh, thank you so much. I'll do that.